Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, I'll take the opportunity to say thank you for the privilege of being here this morning and for the hospitality that we've been shown in Brother and Sister Bones' house and then here at the church. I thoroughly enjoyed getting out there and playing with the young people last night. I enjoy the weather here in Florida. When I left Kentucky, it was raining and it was relatively warm for this time of year. It was in the 50s, but it will not last long. So I wish I could pocket some of the weather and take back with me, but unfortunately we can't do that. But I do count it an honor and a privilege to be here. I've thoroughly enjoyed my short time here. And just the spirit amongst the people, I will commend you on that, really. Everyone being friendly. I know we're instructed to be that way as Christians, but sometimes we go places and people aren't as friendly as we should be. And I don't sense that here. I sense a people that really love each other and love other believers in Christ. And so I commend you in that. But Hebrews chapter 12, and we all know the book of Hebrews, I believe to be written by Paul, writing to the saved Jews coming out of Judaism. And he was telling them how Christianity was better than Judaism and their former religion, if you will. And this morning I want to speak on the subject of running the Christian race. But not just running the Christian race, but doing it victoriously. You know, in this world we live in, it's difficult sometimes to do it and do it with a good attitude, to be a Christian and to do the right thing and do what we're supposed to do. But if we have a proper view of who God is and who we are and what we should be, then I think it's possible for us to run this race and not just run it for the sake of running it, but to do it victoriously. Amen. And what I mean by that is the things that happen, you know, you're going to come up against problems. You're going to have trials, tribulations. But being a Christian doesn't exempt you from those things, as some would tell you in our day and time. But it gives you an ability to overcome those things. And what I see in my life sometimes, and in other believers' lives, we come up on these problems, and there's not a great difference in how we handle them and the way the world handles. So this morning, I want to give you five keys to running the Christian race that I hope God will use to enable you to run it and run it victoriously, that people will notice, hey, there's a difference in that young man or that young lady or that elderly person or whatever the case may be. And you may have the opportunity when they ask you, hey, how did you do that? And you tell them about Jesus Christ and you tell them about what He's done for you, because that's really what it is. If we overcome those things and can do it victoriously, it's not anything in us. It's that Jesus Christ living in us that gives us that ability to do that. Amen. So let's read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the captain of our, the perfecter of our salvation, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Notice we talk about victorious Christian life, and we all know what the cross was to our Lord. But it says that He done it with joy, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank You for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank You for the safe travel You've given us. I thank You for those that have gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that we would come here expecting to meet with You, that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide. Lord, we know that You're in our presence because You're omnipresent, and not only that, You live within us. But sometimes there's too much of us that's in the way that we can't necessarily see You as we should, or others don't see You in us because of us. I ask this morning that you would not allow anything to hinder us having fellowship with you here this morning. Lord, I ask that you help me as your servant to present your word. Give me clarity of thought. Give me the words to speak, that I would speak words that would be pleasing to you and only those things. Forgive me of sin and shortcomings in my life. Lord, I don't want anything to hinder my walk with you. I pray for Brother Tommy as he's in Oregon, that you would bless him and that you would give him safe travels back here. I pray for his family and Kristen as she goes into surgery on Wednesday, that you would give the doctors the wisdom to accomplish that surgery and do it to where everything is done, to where her body will be healed and she will be restored. Lord, I pray for the church, the mission work there in Oregon, and I pray for Southside Baptist Church and Brother Jonathan and Hannah and their family as they will be traveling here to move. And Lord, I pray that you bless their ministry here and that you would do great things through this church and through this man that you've chosen. Lord, I thank you for loving me, for salvation in Jesus Christ and the hope that I have. Give me boldness to tell others about what you've done in my life. And Lord, help me to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to focus on just 5 points this morning on running the Christian race victoriously. Number one, all these points are going to be taken from the first verse that we read there. Remember the witnesses. Number two, relinquish the weights. Number three, renounce the sin which doth so easily beset us. Number four, run with patience. And lastly, run your race. But first and foremost, you have to be in the race if you're going to run the race. You know, you all know, all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with running competitively to some extent. And, you know, there's people there that are spectators. There are people there are the coaches. There are people there that are helping put on the event. But everyone comes to the event to see the participants in that race. So first and foremost, if you're going to run this race victoriously, you've got to be in the race. And being in the race, you turn back a chapter there. We won't do it for the sake of time this morning. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it defines in verse number 1 what faith is. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says that it's impossible to please God without faith. So you can't run the race without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing in you that is acceptable to our Lord in and of ourselves. You may think, hey, well, I'm a pretty good guy, or I'm a pretty good kid, or I don't do this, I don't do that. The standard is not your siblings. It's not other people. It's not the preacher. It's not a good Christian person. It's not your mom, your dad. The standard is absolute perfection. And every one of us had fallen short according to the Bible. But Jesus didn't just leave us there. God didn't just say, well, you failed and I'm done with you. He sent the person of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, there, lived his life spotless, without sin, the Bible says. And he laid his life down. They didn't take it from him. He wasn't, he wasn't murdered, if you will. He laid his life down. You know why he did that? Because he loved us. That's how he endured the cross with joy, Brother Jonathan, was because he was thinking of you and I, his people that he had on his mind when he went to that cross. And because he had a chosen people and he laid down his life for you and I. And he says, all you've got to do is accept, repent of your sins, turn, realize that, you know, no matter how good you may think you are, your good works are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
And if you'll realize that and repent of that, turn from it, have a change of mind, realize you're going the wrong direction, you're going away from the Lord, and turn from that and put your faith and trust in Him, say, hey, I can't do it.
Right.
The good news is you don't have to. Jesus Christ did. And if you'll do that, He'll save you and you'll be in this race. You'll be on this journey of life that we're going to talk about here for a few minutes. Look here, it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Point number one, remember the witnesses. And you look at the chapter that's laying right before this chapter, and it goes through a lot of witnesses, a lot of what we call a lot of times the Hall of Faith. And there's some great men, some great women mentioned in here in this chapter. And I love to read the stories about these men and women. You turn to Hebrews 11, you read about Noah, you read about Abraham, about Sarah, about Joseph, about Rahab, about Moses' parents. All these great men and women. And God has used them greatly through their faith in Him. It wasn't, you know, sometimes we have this false image that there was, they had something that we don't. That they were some kind of superhero. You know, there's really, if you will, allow me the term, there's really only one superhero, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it was their faith in that, in Jesus Christ that enabled them to be such a great cloud of witnesses, that these stories are written about them. And the great things they did, it was their faith in Christ that allowed them to do that. You realize if you will surrender your life as a Christian to the Lord and put your faith and trust in Him wholeheartedly, you can do some of the great things. Maybe not to the magnitude of what these men and women did, but with Jesus, nothing is impossible. And you can do these things. So, you know, as much as I like reading about these people and studying about them, you know what? To me, in court, in the court system, what's the best testimony that can be given? An eyewitness account. So my question to you this morning, where are the witnesses of our day? Where are the Noahs in this room? Where are the Abrahams? Where are the Sarahs? Where are the Rahabs? I got two little girls that I love dearly. And as I read the Bible to them and tell them that this is God's Word and instruct them in that. But what do we do a lot of times in children's ministries? I was listening to Sister Darlene yesterday and she was talking about the little flannel graphs that she would do to illustrate those pictures. To show those children, you know, not just children, but adults, we learn through pictures. Think about it. When I say the word elephant, what goes through your mind? A great big gray animal, big ears, a big trunk. It's not E-L-E-P-H-E-N-T. Well, guess what? How about let's live our life by faith victoriously and give the people that come in contact with us some pictures of what Noah looks like, what Rahab looks like, what Joseph would look like, what our Lord would look like, more importantly, the greatest witness of all. But where are the witnesses of our day and time? I want my children to have that. I want to see that. I need to see people like that. Are you a good witness? You're being a witness, either for good or for bad. And if you call yourself a Christian and a member of Southside Baptist Church, you should be able, people should be able to look at you and say, hey, that brother, that sister, there's something different about them.
Amen.
They should notice a vast difference in you and the lost and dying world. So remember the witnesses as you run this race. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I don't want to just be a spectator or just a witness of it. I want to be in the race. So if you're not in the race this morning, understand that you can do all great things in this world's eyes, but none of them will be pleasing to God without Jesus Christ interceding on your behalf. Number two, relinquish the weights. Notice what he says here. Let us lay aside every weight. But I like how he differentiates it. The writer does. Paul, he says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sometimes we think of these weights maybe being sin or bad things in our life. But you know, as well as I do, when you run physically, you want to run as fast as possible. You want to do your best. And in order to do that, you need to be as light as possible. You want to get rid of everything that would hinder you. I remember I ran several years ago in high school and in college. And we would run with the lightest shoes we could get, with just a real light little jacket and some shorts. Why? So we could do our best. Well, when we're running for the Lord, if you will, spiritually speaking, you need to relinquish those weights. Why are you going to burden yourself down with the things of this world that would hinder your race for the Lord? And when I think of these things, as I mentioned, I'm not talking about evil things, bad things. They could be things like your job. You know, as men, We're instructed in the Scriptures that we're to work, to take care of our families. The Bible says that a man will not provide for his family is worse than an infidel, paraphrased. But you and I have a duty to do that. But do you realize your job, if it's hindering your service to the Lord, it's a weight. And He says, relinquish those weights. Your family. The Lord instituted the family. But it can become a weight to you. So we're not talking bad things here. These can be great things in their place. But it's a matter of prioritizing. Putting the Lord first, putting others second, and yourself last. And if you can do that, you will experience true joy and you'll be able to run this race victoriously that we're talking about. It could be money. We all have to have money to live. But how many people does money hinder in their walk for the Lord? How many people's life have been ruined by money? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. I remember reading the story at the time of someone that had won the largest Powerball lottery in the history. And I think it was 5 years later, and this gentleman wrote how it had ruined his life. He said, my grandchildren are on drugs. I've lost my wife, has left me and took half the money. He said, if I could go back and just take that lottery ticket back to the store where I purchased it. He said, you couldn't get me there fast enough. Nothing wrong with money in and of itself. We have to have it to live. It's a necessity. And that's what we're talking about with these weights. Sometimes they can be a necessity. But we have to understand that nothing can come before the Lord to us. This morning, is there weights in your life? Is there things that's hindering you from running the race to the best of your ability? Are you being weighed down by things that shouldn't be in your life? Or are they, have they gotten out of priority in your life? Relinquish the weights. It can be as simple as staying up late watching TV on Saturday night. There's nothing wrong with watching a ball game or watching a TV program that, you know, is not displeasing to the Lord. But if that hinders you the next morning in your worship to the Lord, it needs to go.
Amen.
You know, I love sports with the best of them. I'll be honest with you. This is a struggle for me. I like to watch the ball games and things of that nature. Being from Kentucky, you know, I like Kentucky basketball. But do you realize, nothing wrong with Kentucky basketball or Florida football or sports in and of themselves. But in Kentucky, you know what? Kentucky basketball is a god to a lot of people. They're more loyal to a college basketball team and these people that don't have a care in the world about them than they are to the Lord, the Creator of all things. And there's people, sports, I love it, but it's gotten out of, just totally out of order today. You look, this Lord's Day, stadiums will be filled with people sitting there worshiping their gods. And yet, people will not come to church to worship the Creator, the one that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as we talked about, to die on that cross for our sins. Folks, our priorities are off. If we want to run victoriously, Christ has to be number one. He won't accept it. He will not accept being second. Number one, nothing can come before Him. And you know what? He loves you enough. If you are one of His, He won't allow you for a long term to put something before Him. You know what He'll do? He'll remove it. So this morning, are you going to relinquish the weights? Or is God going to have to take them from you? Because He can.
Yes, sir.
Folks, He can. But you know what? He gives us the opportunity to do it ourselves. Don't make God do something that He's told you to do.
Yeah.
I've learned that the hard way on some things. Sometimes I can be a little stubborn, learn things the hard way. But it's much easier to do it God's way. Relinquish the weights. Young people, speak to you just for a moment. Your friends. Nothing wrong with having friends. But make sure you've got the right kind of friends. If you're a Christian, you know, you say, well, I may be able to help them become a Christian. You know what will happen? They'll influence you more than you'll influence them. Stay close to the Lord. Nothing wrong with witnessing to those people. But you don't have to run with the hounds. You don't have to go do all the things that they do. Because you will, as the old saying goes, you run with the hounds, you'll get the fleas. You will. relinquish those weights. If those friends don't bring you closer to the Lord, they need to go.
Yeah.
You need friends that are Christians and that will draw you closer to the Lord, not take you away from the Lord. Number three, renounce the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, I think about this, and as I was reading, I looked up the words easily beset us. And I was surprised to what I found when I was doing a word study here. It was almost as if it was a garment, is what it said, that would just kind of encompass. It would entangle. The definition said that it, standing well, easily encompasses, describes sin as having an advantage in favor of its prevailing. And almost like what we would have as a garment, as a cloak or a jacket, and how it just kind of wraps around you. That's what sin will do in your life. It will totally encompass your life, entangle you, and hinder you. As you think about running, you need to be free to move about, don't you? Spiritually speaking, sin in your life will put you in bondage. You will not be able to run like you should be able to. And we're not talking physically, but spiritually speaking, you will not be able to live. You will not be able to do what you need to do to be a victorious Christian if you have sin in your life. Now, God's given us the remedy for that. Confession. There, the Bible tells us, you know, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but we have to confess those sins. And, you know, we talk about that in the Middle Eastern culture, the clothing they wear, these long garments, even the men, and you ladies can attest to this, maybe with a skirt, a longer skirt or a dress, that is, it's hard to kind of run in those things. And that's what this easily beset, the term kind of gives us, is almost as a garment that kind of entangles you and closes you, that you can't run like you should be able to. And back in the biblical days, when these men were going off to war, they were they needed to run, or they needed to be active. They would take their long little gown-like thing, and they would strap it, but they would put a rope and tie it around their waist, and they would take and dangle it between their legs and tie it in the back here to make that almost like what we have as a pair of pants, so they could run more freely, so they could move about. You know what he's saying? Lay aside these sins which doth so easily beset you. Get rid of them so you can move about, so you can be the Christian that you should be, that God has called us to be. You look at the examples of these men and women in the Bible. They had their failures, but they, to the best of their ability, tried to get rid of that sin in their life. They tried to lay aside those weights, those sins. But three areas of sin that easily beset us, and we're not going to get real specific, but three areas that would cover everyone here, sins that you've already tasted. You think, you know, well, I can handle that. Folks, Satan's been at this 6,000 years.
Right.
He's a lot more powerful than you are. And without Jesus Christ and you leaning up on Him, He will ensnare you and defeat you.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. And He knows, you know, what you've already tasted. I mean, that's what we do, you know, with a food or something. If we've already tasted, hey, I like that. Give me some more of it. And that's what Satan will do. He'll put things in your path as you're running your race through life. He'll allow things, hey, this worked last time.
Yeah.
Why not try it again? I know I spent some time in Afghanistan with the Army. And, you know, every time we would go out on mission, they would tell us of the technical and tactical proficiencies, the new operating procedures that we had. And you know what those were developed off of? A lot of times, it was developed off what the enemy was doing. Hey, this is what they did last time. This is where they were. This is how they did it. To be on guard for those things. But what we would do, if it worked last time, you know what we would do? Take that same plan and just tweak it a little bit, perfect it. It worked last time. And that's what Satan will do. He'll put those sins in your life that you've tasted and you failed in before. But number two, sins that you're exposed to in your profession or at school. You think of how many families have been destroyed because of men and women in the same workplace. folks. I realize, you know, the day and time we live in, sometimes it takes almost two incomes to get by. But the Lord warned about these things. And you look, my own family, I'm brokenhearted to tell you this, but I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. If the doors were open, we were there. My dad, just there was no ifs, ands, or buts. 24 years into my parents' marriage, my dad leaves with a lady from his work because he didn't realize the power of the adversary, that roaring lion as Peter talks about there in the devil. And he failed there. My family was broken because of that. And even as a 25-year-old man, that broke my heart. That still bothers me. There's scars to those things. So be careful about sins that you're exposed to at your profession or at school. And last, the third one would be sins that attack our weaknesses. Satan knows exactly where your weaknesses are. And that's where he's going to attack you. You think about it. You look, he's referenced there in Peter, 1 Peter, as the roaring lion. What's a lion do? He's one of the greatest beasts there is. But he doesn't waste his time going after the strong ones. He doesn't waste his time going after the young that are vigilant. He searches and finds the weak, the sick, the ill. And that's where he goes.
Yep.
You know what? That's what sin will do in your life. It'll make you weak. It'll make you ill, spiritually speaking. And you will be susceptible to Satan, that roaring lion. So be careful. And he knows, and I'll mention this. I was just talking to Brother Jonathan on the way in here. Sometimes we think, hey, I can handle that. Or, I'm pretty strong in this area, spiritually speaking. An unguarded strength is a great weakness. You understand that you can only, it's only by the grace of God that we can do what we do. If God was to take His hand off of you and I, you could be as wicked as anybody out here. We're all depraved. We're all, we all suffer. We're all sinners. And you and I, we may think, oh, I can never do that. If God takes His hand off of you for one second, you could do that exact thing. So be careful about the things that you consider yourself strong in. Your strength comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Fourthly, run with patience. That's what he says here. Lay aside the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. Don't take Satan's shortcuts. Satan will tell you, hey, it's not important that you go to church. You can have church in your house. It's not important what the Bible you use. They're all the Word of God. Stick with your King James Bible.
Amen.
Stick with the Word of God. Why would you want something that just contained portions of the Word of God? Those of you that are parents, grandparents, if your kids were in school and the math teacher had 20 students and she sent 20 different textbooks home and gave them all the same test and your kids didn't score real well, you wouldn't hesitate to be up here at the school and say, wait a minute, this ain't right. This isn't fair. There's too many standards out here and you've only got one test to give them. But yet, how many churches across our land will allow a man to stand in the pulpit with a Bible of his choice, and the people in the pew with a Bible of their choice,
right,
and expect everybody to be on the same page and have the same standard?
Yeah.
That's why it's important to have the Word of God. Don't let Satan sell you short on these shortcuts.
Yeah.
The way, running with patience, the Christian race. Satan will offer shortcuts. But the old saying, cheaters never win. There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
You may appear to win. You may get by. But someday, you'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for every idle word, thought, deed that you've done. And you will not win in that. And lastly, he says, run with patience the race that is set before us. Run your race. You know, so many times, especially as a young man, I've talked to other preachers, and as a young person, we kind of want to grow into our own person, make a name for ourselves, be somebody, if you will. And what we do, we look to others, and we look up to them, and we think, I'd like to be like that. There's nothing wrong with having some good examples in our life. But ultimately, what's the Bible say? Looking unto Jesus. Use Jesus as your example. That's the one you're to follow. Run the race that He sets before you. As an individual, don't look to the left or the right and say, I want to be like that or try to run their race. God has given you specific gifts and duties to do, and He desires that you do them. As you think about running physically, you all know in track and field, there's different events. There's sprinters, there's distance runners, there's middle distance, there's hurdlers. It's much like that in the kingdom of God. God has a purpose for you. As a church, run the race that's set before Southside Baptist Church. Don't worry too much about what this church is doing, that church is doing. Run the race that's set before you, what God has for you to do. You follow the Lord and watch to see what He'll do with you. Don't try to run someone else's race. I'll tell you a little story about that physically. In high school, I was in track and I would do pretty well. And there was a kid that always was right there with me. For him and I, would usually most of the meets we'd go to, I would finish first, he would finish second, or vice versa. We got to a meet, and this was the 2 mile race, so we do 8 laps around the track. We got to another meet, and one of his teammates come out there to run the 2 mile that had never ran it. The kid would run normally 2 laps, 800 meters, and was really good at it. Well, they shot that gun, and that kid took off like you wouldn't believe. And about a lap and a half into it, he was probably a half lap or better up on me already. And I thought, man, if he gets too far ahead, I don't know if I can catch him. So I started trying to catch him. Got a few laps into the race, you know what happened? He stepped off the track. His coach was using him as a rabbit, what they call a rabbit, a decoy, to see if anybody else would follow him. You know what I did? I was following him. I'd thrown out everything my coach had told me, all the training that I'd done, because I was looking to running someone else's race, not the race that was set before me. You know what happened to me? There was kids that had never beat me that beat me that race, because by the end of it, I was winded and couldn't go on. You know what will happen if you're starting to look to others and trying to run their race? There'll be people pass you spiritually. You'll fall back. You will not run the race that God has set before you victoriously. You'll be in the race, but you won't be victorious. You know, when people run, they run for the goal of winning, don't we? And so let's run the race that's set before you. And in closing, don't look what the Bible says here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look around. Don't look down. Don't look back. One thing our coach told us when we were running, he said, pick a mark and run toward that mark. Just keep looking up. You look down, you'll get off course. You look to the left or right, you'll get off. You look back, you may stumble. Spiritually speaking, don't look back. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Look up. You know, we are referenced in the Scripture as sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb animals if you really study them out. You know what sheep will do? They'll put their head down and graze and never pay attention to their surroundings. And even if danger's imminent, they will not pay a lick of attention. But that's why God puts people in our paths, gives us pastors, teachers, mentors, to say, hey, look up. Look up. Look to Jesus. And notice what it says here. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you get tired, feel like you can't go on, remember what Jesus did. What if He would have got tired? What if He would have just said, that's enough.
Right.
I know God is sovereign, and I know God was impeccable and He couldn't fail, but what if He had done that for you and I? Where would we be without hope? Don't He deserve our best to run Even, and if all you can do is walk, spiritually speaking, walk. But don't quit.
Amen.
Don't faint, as it says. Looking unto Jesus. And someday, we'll come across that finish line and we'll get to see Him face to face. And it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
I remember one last little illustration. When I was in Afghanistan, you know what? I would get a little discouraged, a little homesick from time to time. And I would take a picture out of my family and look at that picture. And I would look at the calendar and see how many days before I got to go see my family. And you know, it seemed like forever at times. But as I would look at those pictures, it would remind me of those things, put a smile on my face. I'd have happy memories, happy thoughts. And before you know it, I remember stepping off that. We flew in there and they put us on a bus and chartered us to a local high school, our unit there. And I remember the first time I seen my family again, my little girls. And I remember what a good feeling that was, just a great, great moment. But when I would get discouraged, I would look at those pictures of my little girls. When you get discouraged spiritually, get in your Bible. Look at the pictures of Jesus Christ and those people, and you'll find yourself going from being down, discouraged, to being encouraged and ready to continue on. Don't quit. Run the race that God has set before you, and He'll bless you for it. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this church. I pray that You would bless each and every one here. Be with